I had a chance to stroke an item off of my bucket list this past summer. When my family and I traveled to Alberta for a road trip through the magnificent Rocky Mountains. And while we were there, we took the opportunity to spend an afternoon on one of the hiking trails in the area. Now, I'll be honest, it wasn't a difficult trail. It was a little challenging due to a light shower that had left the rocks and slopes feeling a little slippery, the increased humidity that left the mosquitoes looking for a mid-afternoon snack, and the general terrain of the trail competing with a body that, well, let's just say is not in the greatest of shape anymore. Sometimes I needed an extra hand up to navigate a steep and rocky path, and sometimes I needed some gentle encouragement with a, come on, Leanne, let's go, you can do this. But after an hour or so, we made it to the top of the lookout, and there we were greeted with the rewarding view of the majestic Rocky Mountains and nearby Columbia ice fields. I admit to feeling very small in that moment. Looking around at the great expanse of the mountains that surrounded me, but I also felt so overwhelmingly thankful for the God who created the majesty and glory of the Rocky Mountains. And although the journey had its challenges, I was certainly glad that I had made the trek that afternoon. As I was preparing this sermon, I wondered how the disciples felt as they made their trek up the mountain with Jesus. Did they too notice the majesty and beauty of those mountains? Or was there something more important on their minds? In our gospel reading this morning, the disciples Peter, James, and John are traveling up the mountain to pray with Jesus. But this was not a happy and joyful climb for them. In the previous chapter of Luke, Jesus had just informed the disciples that he was going to suffer, be rejected, and die. How would this news have left the disciples feeling? Despair? Confusion? A sense of apprehension, perhaps? This man for whom they have grown to love, this man who has taught them and led them, and given the disciples the power to heal and cure illness and disease, this man who gave the disciples authority over all evil, was going to suffer and be rejected. This same man for whom they dropped their nets and simply followed because Jesus asked them to become fishers of people, was going to die on the cross. No, this would not have been a happy climb for the disciples. I am sure their hearts were heavy with confusion and anxiety, and wondering not only about the future of Jesus, but for their future as well. One only needs to open the newspaper, listen to the news, or look on their social media news feed to see that our world feels broken and full of darkness. We need only to look to our neighbors in the United States and feel that the journey that they are on is full of hate, deceit, evil, and intolerance. Bullying, mean-spirited tweets, alternate facts, and fake news have become accepted forms of communication. And yes, while millions of people may have voted for a new direction in the United States, millions more feel angry, confused, and bewildered at what is happening to their beloved country. We as Canadians are not exempt from acts of hatred and intolerance. We hear of mosques being vandalized and swastikas being painted on Jewish homes. The mosque shooting in Quebec is still fresh in our memories, which left 6 men dead and many more injured, simply because they gathered for evening prayer on their knees together at their mosque. We see and hear negativity daily, which weighs us down and brings a sense of fear and dread to our daily lives. We look at our churches and we see budgets growing larger, but congregations getting smaller and older. And if we follow on that same path, it will lead to nowhere. And as I stand here today, I know that many of you may be on your own journey, a journey that may see your paths full of stones and rocks, making it hard to navigate, which may leave you feeling the same sense of despair and confusion as our disciples felt. Where do we find God on a journey that seems to lead to pain and despair? How do we find hope for our journey in the darkness where we cannot see the rocks and stones that block the paths in our life? Where is the good news? After their long trek, the disciples were weary with sleep, but suddenly became alert when Jesus appeared before them, shining, with a radiant face and dressed in dazzling bright white clothes. What a sight to behold! Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and the disciples are even more amazed at the sight of the three before them. Moses, whose face shone with radiance in Exodus 34 after speaking with God, the same Moses who had his own mountaintop experience with God when he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and Elijah, who was the great prophet of the end times, who challenged Baal on behalf of God at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings. Both men were prosecuted and had suffered throughout their lives, but each of them were defended by God on their journeys. The experience is so awe-inspiring for Peter that he wants to build three dwellings for each, so the moment can be enjoyed for eternity, not understanding that the three were so great that mere houses could not contain them. This was a mountaintop experience for Peter. Suddenly, a great cloud appears, and God's voice is heard through the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Now, this is the second time we hear of God's voice in Luke coming from the clouds to speak of Jesus as God's son. The first was at Jesus' baptism, where God speaks directly to Jesus, saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But this time, it is the disciples who are asked to listen to God's voice. The God who brings a promise of new life, who brings hope on a journey that was full of despair and confusion. God, in the revelation of Jesus, offers the disciples a view of glory and greatness in the form of God's Son, who forgives our sins through his death on the cross. I'm not sure the disciples understand exactly what is going on, but they realize that this is a big deal. This is important. So where is our hope for the world today? How do we navigate through the darkness and around the stones and rocks that cover our paths on our journey? We do so in the knowledge that we are not alone, that God is on the journey with us, asking us to listen for God's voice in the busyness, noisiness, and craziness of our lives. That same voice that Jesus heard at his baptism, naming Jesus as God's beloved Son, is the same God who names us at our baptism, naming us as God's beloved children. We are loved. Through darkness and light, each one of you are loved. As we continue on our journey, we find hope and comfort in those who journey with us, whether it is family or friends or strangers we may meet along the way, like that of Moses and Elijah, who a spirit appeared and spoke with Jesus, helping to explain his coming exodus or departure on the cross. Through our faith, we trust in the God who sent Jesus, God's own Son, to show us how to love our neighbor, how to stand with the oppressed, the poor, the refugee, for anyone who cannot stand on their own. Earlier this month in Stratford, hundreds of people gathered together, standing shoulder to shoulder around a local mosque, as a symbolic gesture of love and acceptance while their Muslim brothers were praying inside. This simple act of love and acceptance is listening to God's voice in the darkness and allowing the light to stream through our lives, making a difference to those who need it the most. We all have mountaintop experiences. Some may be on an actual mountain, while others occur on flat ground, surrounded by strangers, offering acceptance and love. But they are all experiences where we feel the presence and voice of God calling out to us. God may not always completely prepare the paths in our journey, but it is this God who walks beside us and offers us grace, love, and the light we need to allow us to get to that lookout, where the view is majestic and breathtaking, where we stand in wonder and thankfulness, exclaiming, "Thanks be to God."